Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patty LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I am Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Disney Plus Cheese, a podcast where two childless men in their 20s talk about films on Disney Plus with a cynical eye. How are you doing today, Andrew?
I am feeling king of the world, baby. Let's go.
Hey. No touchy.
No touchy. What are we talking
no
about?
No touchy.
I actually don't know what we're talking about. You're just making jokes here. What do you...
Do you not remember the poison?
The poison. No.
Cusco's poison. The poison for Cusco. Cusco's poison.
Oh, it's all coming together.
You know. Today on our second episode of Disney Plus Cheese, we are talking about the classic film, The Emperor's New Groove.
Classic in quotations, maybe? I'm not sure. Is this arguably classic, or is this actually a classic?
I think this is a classic. It's coming up on 20 years old.
Yeah. But does it really hold up is the question.
Oh my gosh, you don't think this movie holds up?
What's that?
You don't think this movie holds up? I heard Andrew say it.
I'm just asking if you think it holds up as well as other Disney movies do.
I think this holds up better than most Disney films because it kind of forced itself in a way that it had to hold up. It's kind of forcibly timeless in a way.
I would say there's some arguable stuff in there that's kind of, there's not really any direct pop culture references except for maybe like Tom Jones, but some of it is
and
like
Big Boy.
There is some stuff that's like humor wise, not timeless, I don't think, but there is a lot of really good humor still.
All right. What do you think feels the most dated out of this entire film?
Probably Tom Jones.
Tom Jones is timeless. And The Emperor's New Groove is a 2000 American animated buddy comedy film produced by the Walt Disney Feature Animation and distributed by Walt Disney Pictures. It is the 40th animated Disney feature film and was directed by Mark Dindal from a script written by David Reynolds, based on a story by Chris Williams and also Dindal again. The voice cast features David Spade, John Goodman, Eartha Kitt, Patrick Warburton, and Wendy Malick. The Emperor's New Groove follows a young, self-centered Incan emperor, Cusco, who transformed into a llama by his ex-advisor, Yzma. In order for the emperor to change back into a human, he trusts a village leader, Pacha, who escorts him back to the palace. So what about that sounds like it wouldn't age well, you cynical
prick. It ages pretty well. I actually really like this movie.
I think this film's great.
What is your favorite aspect of it, just right off the bat here?
I love how short it is. It's a breeze to watch. It's like 77 minutes at...
Dude.
And it just breezes by.
I am so tired of long movies, and I watched this recently, and I was like, oh, man, that was like an episode of a TV show.
That was the length of, like, some YouTube videos.
Like, holy shit, that was the same length as that documentary I watched on something on YouTube. I don't know. What if people watch documentaries on YouTube now? Everything?
That was as long as Lindsay Ellis' video on Game of Thrones.
Oh my goodness. It's as long as an episode of Game of Thrones.
It's shorter than some episodes of Game of Thrones, honestly.
No. I coming off of It Chapter 2 and Endgame, I'm feeling that 60-minute fucking movie.
It feels wonderful, and that doesn't mean that there's nothing developed. Every one of these characters feels developed, whole, and you understand exactly their motives and who they are as people.
But I think what's great is that while there is an emotional core to it, it's kind of just like that mile-a-minute comedy where there's just jokes after jokes after jokes, you know?
Yeah, I totally understand. Like, namely, if it weren't a comedy, this would feel so much more of a slog to get through as a plot.
It's just a simple plot. It's a buddy comedy almost.
And it's Farley and David Spade movie, except Chris Farley's dead.
Yeah, and replaced with someone else. Who replaces him? John Goodman or
John Goodman.
Yeah, but I would say
it's not like Adam Sandler who went for Kevin James to replace his Chris Farley.
I'd say the real stars of the movie is the villains, though, because they are the, yes, the funnier. And I think everyone agrees with that. The villains are just straight funnier and better in this movie.
I mean, Eartha Kitt delivers so well on everything, as well as Patrick Warburton. And Patrick Warburton hasn't really become like the household name he is today, and he still like knocks it out of the park.
I mean, that voice he does is just so good. It's the only voice he does, but it's really good.
I mean, it's the same with Eartha Kitt. Eartha Kitt has one of the most recognizable voices on the entire planet, and she delivers it so well as like this comically like evil character. And her timing and everything is picture perfect.
So a few things I want to comment on that I really like in this movie. From the start of the movie, like the very beginning, I would say Cusco is designed as a villain in the very beginning. Like his character model and everything is a Disney villain almost.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that?
Yes and no, but I'm going to go into that a bit later. Andrew, it is a miracle that this film exists as any watchable piece of media. Like,
how do you mean?
This is not the film we were meant to get from the production of this. This was a last minute, like, thrown together piece just to get something out and meet the deadline.
All right, you have something to say. What's going on here? What's the behind the scenes story?
So, did you notice that this has a very different tone than any of the other films they were released during this time in the Renaissance? Like, this is following up Hunchback of Notre Dame and Hercules and all them.
I would say it's close-ish to Hercules, but it is very different, definitely. It's faster than Hercules is.
But even Hercules is a traditional musical with an I Want song and, like, these vast, like, orchestral melodies and, like, these big, big dramatic, like, that end scene with all the gods is, like, intense life and death stakes.
Yes. So it's got more drama, but it does... I think Hercules is, like, halfway between a Hunchback and a Emperor's New Groove. It's almost like a transition mm-hmm. point.
Yes. But fun fact, this film was much closer in tone to something like Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid throughout most of its development.
No, I don't believe you.
Yes.
In what way?
It was originally called Kingdom of the Sun, and it was to be the tale of a greedy, selfish emperor, voiced by David Spade, who finds a peasant, voiced by Owen Wilson, who looks just like him. The emperor swaps places with the peasant to escape his boring life and
it's
have fun.
It's a Prince and the Pauper?
Yep. Exactly like that. However, the villainous witch Yzma plans to summon Supe, the evil god of death, and destroy the sun so that she may become young and beautiful forever. The sun gives her wrinkles, so she surmises that living in a world of darkness would prevent her from aging. Discovering the switch between the prince and the peasant, Yzma turns the real emperor into a llama and threatens to reveal the pauper's identity unless he obeys her. During his time as the emperor and doing Yzma's bidding, the pauper falls in love with the emperor's soon-to-be fiancée, Nina, who thinks that he is the emperor changed of ways. Meanwhile, the emperor llama learns humility in his new form and even comes to love a female llama herder named Meta. Together, the girl and the llama set out to undo the witch's plans, and the book, Real Views 2, says the film would have been a romantic comedy musical in the traditional Disney style. And then
what?
Everyone
hated it.
That
sounds awful to be... This sounds awful.
Everyone
to be
hated
honest.
It. And Roger Allers, who was the original director, had this to say about Kingdom of the Sun. Kingdom of the Sun was such a heartbreaking experience for me. I put 4 years of my heart and energy into that one. I was creating an epic picture, mixing elements of adventure, comedy, romance, and mysticism. The head of Disney Features at the time was afraid of what we were doing. In his opinion, too many films that are in the same vein. He was also uncomfortable with the spiritual and cultural Inca aspects of it. Hence, he decided to make it a simple slapstick comedy. Would it have worked out if we had more time? I would hope so, but one can never know about these things.
Honestly, it sounds awful, and I don't think it would have been good.
And Sting was to write all the songs very similarly to, like, Randy Newman writing all the songs for, like, Princess and the Frog.
The song the song is good. What is the song called? So everyone else can look it up.
I sent Andrew the song Snuff Out the Light, which was Yzma's villain song. And for the Emperor's New Groove animated series, they actually reused it so that Eartha Kitt had the chance to actually sing that song properly.
No, it's good, though. It's good.
That's great. Yeah, it's a good song. And Eartha Kitt is a song and dance lady, and she would have killed it. And part of me kind of wishes we had gotten this traditional musical version, because as much as I do like The Emperor's New Groove, you can see the seams quite a bit.
I think that's kind of actually what ages the most, is that you can kind of see where it's slapped together and like where they cut corners. Like any time that he like pauses the movie and then does a little speech, it's like, well, you just need some time. Like, what's going on here? You know? Like, it's kind of a funny
gag.
Where
the characters fall off model or something. Like, there's times where when they're running or in a different position, it's like, oh, you don't quite look right.
Yeah, I mean, it makes up for it by just having a lot of fun gags, like, back to back to back, you know? But if you stop and look at what it is, it definitely does feel a little bit slapped together.
But it, unlike things like Brave and The Good Dinosaur, which was slapped together, The Good Dinosaur at one point literally didn't have a director for an 18-month period.
Oh, wow, that's a good way to make a movie.
Those movies feel like disastrous messes thrown together and almost made, like, coherent. Whereas this feels like an altogether coherent, thematically connected project.
It's coherent garbage.
I wouldn't call it garbage. God.
No, it's not garbage. Man. No, it's very good. But
like, even the animation is good. Like, if this was Cats Don't Dance, this would be great animation. But for Disney and the standard they had put themselves at, this does feel like a big step down.
It looks like TV animation in a way.
Like TV animation now, probably not TV animation then.
No. TV animation, like, it looks like modern day SpongeBob or something like that.
Yeah, it looks like Flash, even though it 100% was hand animated.
Yeah, but you could tell it's very cartoony, which is, I think, is good, and it fits the material.
Mm-hmm.
But if this was like a traditional Disney movie animated in this way, I don't think it would work at all.
No. But there was a wonderful documentary called The Sweatbox made about all the trials and tribulations behind the scenes of The Emperor's New Groove and how the Kingdom of the Sun eventually became The Emperor's New Groove and bringing back all the actors and Eartha Kitt being like, what's going on? Why am I, what am I doing here? What are these lines?
So they had all the actors go, did they make that whole movie like a rough
they
cut
made
of that
the whole
entire
movie?
They
had an entire finished version of the film. They just had some parts were animated, some, but the entire film was finished voiceovered and all that. And they just shit canned it.
So they
started
had
from scratch,
full
basically.
Voiceovers, all they had songs done, some animation,
yep.
I'm assuming animatics for everything else or whatever it is.
Yep.
And
storyboards, a lot of storyboards.
Is that anywhere? Can we find that anywhere?
Yes, it is available for free on YouTube. It has never been officially released because the Disney lawyers did not like how the heads of Disney, specifically like Tom Schumacher, appeared to be reflected in that film.
How do you mean?
They kind of came in as the nerdy enemies of these scrappy and hungry animation giants going in there trying to make their Kingdom of the Sun movie, being like, I'm not sure that all this is a good idea.
Oh. I mean, that's
so
fair.
The only version has like time codes on it, but it is a very interesting watch. I highly recommend anyone out there go seek out The Sweatbox. It's a great documentary. Hopefully one day it'll be on Disney Plus so we can talk about it.
So is it made by Disney, this documentary? They actually put out a documentary
of the
behind the scenes?
It was made by a couple of Disney animators, not strictly through Disney. It's not like Waking Sleeping Beauty, which is another like inside baseball, let's shit on the former heads of Disney documentary, which is great. And I do really want to do on this show one day. Like, I feel like you would love that documentary, and it will be on Disney Plus. So we got that. But The Sweatbox has not been officially released, but it is very easy to find.
All right.
All right.
I just can't believe that there was a whole bunch of songs and they literally cut everything. Like, usually when you rework a movie, it doesn't go through that much change that drastically.
I can give you another Disney film that did that exactly and works.
Can I guess?
Yeah, guess it.
Wait, can I get a quick hint? How old?
It's within the Renaissance.
Oh. Is it Hercules? I kind of feel like it might have been Hercules.
No, I'll give you another hint. This is the only Disney animated film to be nominated for Best Picture.
Shoot.
It lost to Silence of the Lambs.
I wish I kept up on the Oscars. Was it Beauty and the Beast?
It was Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. And I kind of figured. I knew that Beauty and the Beast got nominated for something.
Yeah. And in the documentary Waking Sleeping Beauty, they went into it. But basically, originally, it was all, like, the first half hour was all about, like, the prince and, like, him trying to, like, get a girl to be engaged with him and focusing entirely on that. And then becoming the Beast and it being really tragic. And then it really, the story didn't pick up until 35 minutes in.
So the first half hour was that first, like, 1 minute crawl at the beginning of the actual movie?
Exactly. And it was not a musical, like, it was just all this dry British talking. And then they brought Howard Ashman and Alan Menken in to try to fix it up, and Jeffrey Katzenberg is like, nope, we're scrapping this. Start from the beginning, this is bad. Bad. Well,
I'm just glad it came out good, because now we have Gaston, and that's really all we need.
Exactly.
Speaking of Gaston, I think Yzma is one of the best Disney villains of all time.
If not the hottest.
Definitely the hottest, but also the best. Her evil plan, to be fair though, doesn't really make very much sense.
Just her evil plan is literally just to poison him. It makes pretty much sense.
It makes a lot of sense, but the execution doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, she wants to poison him. She wants to poison him, which would just directly kill him, right? So she has him, she has him for dinner, gives him the poison. It's the wrong poison. He turns into a llama. What do you do at that point?
Right. Drown him.
You drown him, mail him to yourself, and then hit the box with a hammer. That makes sense. Or you could just kill him. I mean, you're at a table. There's knives. He's just a llama. He's not going to fight. Like, why send him with your henchman, who is clearly an idiot, to drop him off a waterfall?
After having a quick cup of coffee, let's not forget.
Of course. Well, I mean, that part makes sense. It's the rest of the plan that's a little bit iffy.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, for a while, her plan worked. As soon as she thought Cusco was dead, she pretty much took over.
The part that gets me, though, is why not just make sure he's dead before you get rid of the body? Like, why send Kronk with the alive llama in a bag and just assume that Kronk is going to be able to do that? Because we have seen that Kronk is not very good at doing stuff. Other than cooking, of course.
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
There is this new term going around that's called himbo, and I think that Kronk is, like, the ideal himbo, which is
bimbo. Oh, okay. I always just thought,
like,
they were just
super attractive idiot.
I always thought they were just still bimbos. Like, I've heard people call men bimbos. They're usually, like, muscle heads or something like that, too.
But they've coined the phrase, especially for, like, folks like Chris Hemsworth as Thor or something like that, where they're just, like, these big, beefy idiots.
So a muscle head. It's the same term, essentially.
My next question is, do you think Yzma's ever seen Kronk naked?
They are obviously dating.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I really, you think so?
I think that's like an in-joke in the movie. I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was like, I remember Cusco's like, what is he, like 25 or 26? Yeah, I think around that age. Oh,
all right. All right. I think that that is like a, I think that is like a real thing. Like, they are dating. Like, that, it, it makes sense, right? Why else would he hang around her?
Because she likes his spinach puffs.
Doesn't she insult his cooking at some point? I forget.
Yeah, that is the turning point where he finally realizes yes. he doesn't need Yzma.
Yeah, because she insults his cooking, which is never a good idea. Don't insult people's cooking. That's just mean.
Her description of her relationship with Kronk is probably, like, at the very end, where it's like, it's a cruel irony, like my dependence on you.
See, that, the ending part makes it seem like she has him as a servant, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, earlier in the movie, they're implying it's dating. I think it is dating. I mean, they eat every meal together. They, you know, travel with each other. They go on a grand adventure.
He has together. An erection tent.
He does. He is sleeping with Yzma, and he is pitching a tent.
Over his crotch, and only his crotch. Look at that scene again. The tent is only over his crotch.
It's true. That's funny, though.
Gotta throw those in jokes in there. Can we talk about another, like, sexy person in this movie? Because now we're definitely never going to get sponsored by Disney Plus.
Why would we get sponsored? Why? That is not the point of this show, Jess. The point of the show is to drink and fuck around.
Drink and fuck around and talk about Disney. So Pacha's wife, his pregnant wife, I always had, when I was young and I watched this movie, I always had the biggest crush on her.
Isn't she pregnant?
She was my Disney crush.
Isn't she pregnant in this movie? Jess, that's a fetish. That's a weird fetish to have, Jess. You might want to see a doctor or a therapist or a psychologist.
It wasn't really about the pregnancy. It was more about, like, how, what a good relationship that she had with her husband and how it's made on, like, mutual love and appreciation and how much she, like, demands that her husband gets respect. I thought they had a really good relationship and that I liked her. I genuinely liked her. And on top of that, she's designed hot, even when she wasn't pregnant.
She is a very good character, and she's someone that I would like to go out with in real life, you know? She's the type of person that is wife material. But at the same time, though, I just want to mention Cusco's girlfriend in the TV show, Emperor Goes to College, is the best character.
You could have Googled it. You had plenty of time to Google what the title was.
I don't care.
But you didn't.
She's hot.
Shit.
She's hot, and I've never
and
really watched
underage.
The show. And underage, which is not good. Okay. Have you seen the TV show?
I did, and Eartha Kitt and Patrick Warburton come back.
Yes.
Which is all that's worth mentioning.
Well, that and the theme song.
K-U-Z-C-O, Cusco,
go. See, you remember the theme song.
You know, that'll be on Disney Plus. Maybe we can cover the entire series.
Hey, I thought this was all about me. Man, I love that TV show. It captures the spirit. Captures the spirit of the movie pretty well.
Do you think it's held up well? I haven't looked at it at all.
I have not rewatched it in like 10 years. It's probably complete shit.
Remember when Disney would just take any movie that was relatively successful and then give it a TV show?
Oh, and they're like always Lilo and Stitch. So bad. Actually, the Lilo and Stitch one wasn't the worst, but like the
that
Little
had a good
Mermaid
premise
one.
To it.
Have you seen the Little Mermaid one? That was trash, dude.
Have you seen Buzz Lightyear of Star Command?
Oh, dude, that was good. That one was good. There was like a fat version of Buzz Lightyear. He was like an alien Buzz Lightyear, and he was like a fatty. What am I talking about? Oh my god!
I know exactly what you're talking about. Is a thing.
And then you had
Lady Fetish Buzz Lightyear.
Yes. Dude, like everyone was just a Buzz Lightyear, but like.
That was a uniform, and that means that what Buzz Lightyear wears isn't special.
Yeah, it just ruins Buzz Lightyear's character.
Hashtag the last Star Commander.
Last Star Commander fucking up Buzz Lightyear. Jeez. Thanks, George Lucas, retconning everything.
But did you ever watch Kronk's New Groove?
I've never seen Kronk's New Groove. I've always intended to, but every single time I look at it, I'm like, you know what? This movie probably sucks. I don't watch it. Am I right? Though, is it good?
I have not watched it. I've seen the cover.
Oh my god.
I remember I was young when it came out, and my mom was like, "Hey, Jesse, do you want this movie?" And I was like, "I think I'm good, Mom."
Yeah, see, it's like the same thing. Like, you look at it and you're like, "That's a great idea, and I really like that character, but that movie probably sucks." You know, like, you think about it, you're like, "I want to see it, but like, no."
Like, have you heard of Planet Sheen, the spinoff of Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius?
Oh, God, no. That has nothing to do with Disney, but at the same time, that is complete shit. I cannot believe you brought that up.
But Sheen works in Jimmy Neutron as a side character. I don't want a show where Sheen is the main character.
I think Kronk...
And it's the same thing with Kronk's New Groove.
I think Kronk does have something going for him where he could be funny on his own. Number one, Patrick Warburton. Which, yeah. I mean, he's just funny all the time, you know? And number two, Kronk has some interesting personality traits where, like, you know, he wants to be a good person, but he doesn't have any real sense of morality, which could be fun to play with. But without Yzma there taking advantage of that fact, I'm not sure he'd be as funny.
I mean... they need to be together. Like, if it was Yzma's New Groove and it's about Yzma and Kronk, like, I'd be so fucking down for that.
Did
honestly.
You just call him Kronk?
Kronk.
Yes, if it was Yzma and... I mean, maybe it is Yzma and Kronk. I don't actually know.
We can't get past the cover.
I've never gotten past the cover. I think the issue with it is that when you look at it and you see... you see it titled Kronk's New Groove. The first thing you think, at least in my cynical, cheesy mind, the first thing I think is, this is a cash grab. Everyone loves Kronk. This is just a cash grab. It sucks ass. That's all I can think. You know, I can't actually get past that.
Mm. So I got a question about you. What do you think the moral of this story is?
The actual moral of Emperor's New Groove?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the moral, like, the obvious moral is have empathy for others, even if you think that they are less than you.
But then again, there is that song where it's like Happy Ever After, and he discovers what really makes him happy is the family he gets with Pacha, to be in that group and get that family.
I don't think that that's true, though. I think he's just happy that he has a swimming pool in a good location.
But why would he invite Pacha and all them? Like, that's where he finds his joy. It isn't the fact that he has the swimming pool. It's the fact that he can share it with this family he has.
Yeah, but you know what he doesn't share with that family that he has? All what? Of his money and influence.
You know why?
Why is that?
He had to go to school and learn all...
He's got to learn
so
his ABCs.
He's the emperor to be, and he's totally.
Dude, the theme song to that is so good.
Do you know what the fuck Kronk's last name is?
No, what's Kronk's last name?
I can't even fucking say it. Pepe Krankeenitz?
Wow, that is racist. That's just a generic Incan name, dude. He's
so,
the
do you want to know the
B, and he's totally.
So the plot of
Cusco, go.
Kronk's New Groove is basically his relationship with his dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's all about how he wasn't a man enough for his dad. You know, the plot we all needed was the plot of Kronk's relationship with his daddy. Either way, let's talk about merchandising. Well, it's our merchandise corner.
We're not actually recording, are we?
We're recording our own audio. I'll use it to sync to later. We'll be fine.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah, we'll be fine.
All right. Okay, so back to it.
Merchandise corner.
We're talking about merchandise now, because we talk about merchandise.
So this
on
is the
show.
Part where we talk about all the kooky, crazy merchandise that popped up during the time that this film was originally released. Because Disney will merchandise anything to a pulp. We are going to take a look at some of the kooky merchandise that came out of The Emperor's New Groove. Now, I've compiled this list of images, and you won't see them, but Andrew's about to go and pull them up and describe them for you so you don't have to. So we have around 6 links here. So, Andrew, why don't we take a look at the first link and you describe what you see there.
All right.
Oh, nope. Ignore the first link. I lied.
I think we have 4 links.
Yeah.
All right. I'm checking out the first one of our 4 merchandise. And what is this?
It might be the wrong link.
No, this picture, what is this supposed to be? It looks like it's Kronk with, he's a plushy Kronk with a battery.
It's a Kronk towel.
Why is there a battery?
That's just to hold him up.
What is it?
You can have Kronk all over your naked body. It's a towel.
Literally a Kronk towel? This
yeah,
is a real thing?
Found at the Disney parks.
It doesn't even look that much like Kronk, to be honest, and that's what frustrates me the most.
He's got one eyebrow raised. That's all that you need is one eyebrow raised.
Yeah, that's the Kronk thing. He raises one eyebrow.
And he fucks your girlfriend.
This merchandise,
let's go on to the next piece.
This merchandise sucks. It's a Kronk towel advertised with a battery that it does not use. Frustrating. And also, it doesn't really look like Kronk. Oh my god. That's actually pretty good looking. I like that. Usually these pop... This is an Yzma Pops figure. It actually looks pretty good, and usually these Pops figures I don't think look that great, but this looks pretty decent. I kind of like it. What do you think, Jess?
All right. I think she looks creepy as hell, and I don't like it.
I mean, but that's what she looks like in the movie.
I mean, sure.
Sure, whatever you think, man. All right, let's get into the weird shit. Oh, yeah, here we go. Fucking Happy Meal toys, boys and girls. Okay, Pasha is a little big. The squirrel looks like a fox. And why do we only have the scientist version of Kronk? That's a little... I'm not into that. I'm not into that right there. I want normal Kronk. I don't want scientist Kronk.
I don't want him to have an education. I want
Dude,
him
wait,
to
wait,
be
wait.
A himbo.
If you went to McDonald's and you got multiple toys, you could get Kuzco and Llama Kuzco and then have normal Kuzco ride Llama Kuzco.
Or kiss Llama Kuzco.
Oh, no. All right.
Make
all
them
right.
kiss.
Happy Meal toys have really gone uphill. I mean, I don't actually know. Happy Meal toys suck. All right, let's check out this last one. Usually Jess saves
Happy
the best
Meal
for
toy.
Last. Oh my
it's a closer up version of it.
Oh my god, it's so poorly sculpted and it looks like does it roll around? Oh my god, it's one of the rollers with the feet that move. Is that what this is?
Yeah, it's like the rolly legs.
How much you want to bet it doesn't even stand up?
I think
the
picture just here has over. It. I can't
Yeah, the picture here has it laying down and it doesn't look like it'd be very balanced, if I'm honest. Also, he has holes in his hands as if there's something that you can have him hold. But it doesn't look
Yo
like you
dick.
Can move his arms. So, like, I guess you could have him just hold stuff sticking straight out in front
of him. Let me look back at the other image. Was he holding, like, a carriage or a chariot or something? Nope, nothing. There is a boulder thing that he could hold.
It looks like he could hold the boulder and maybe pull it along. And the boulder has...
Maybe.
Wait, the boulder has Kuzco Llama inside of it. Is this a scene from the movie I'm forgetting about?
It could have been from Kingdom of the Sun, and they just cut it out.
I mean, I wouldn't doubt that.
All right, Andrew. Time for our second to final segment. What would Walt have thought? What do you think Walt Disney would have thought about this film?
Walt would have hated this movie, I think.
Really? Why?
It's just a dumb slapstick comedy. With really no focus on anything that he was really interested in. I don't know. It also didn't really advance...
I'm gonna agree with you that he didn't like he honestly didn't like it because it didn't make no money, and he was the human capitalist.
Was Walt really like that? I don't think he was.
Oh, he was a huge capitalist. He loved.
Oh, I'm sure he was. But like, Fantasia wasn't a success, but he's still like that. I think he was also an artist.
I don't know if he was an artist in the same way that he was. I don't think he was a filmmaking artist, honestly.
Well, he's an animator, which is another reason why I don't think he'd like this, because they really cut the animation quality down quite a bit. Like, this movie,
he would have considered it like a Warner Brothers cartoon, and he probably looked down at them.
Oh, he definitely did. There was, like, I mean, pretty big rivalries going on between all those guys. I don't think he would have liked this. That doesn't mean it's not a good movie. I just don't think Walt Disney, if Walt Disney himself was alive, he probably wouldn't allow this to happen.
He probably wouldn't have let Kingdom of the Sun exist either.
No, probably not. In fact, he probably would have been making very, very different movies. I would guess probably more along the lines of stuff like Bambi and things like that, which are,
boring movies. Have you watched?
I've never really seen Bambi all the way through, so that is one we're going to have to do.
Oh, it's so fucking boring. It is not a fun watch.
Yikes.
It's a pretty film, but it is just dull.
Yikes. Why does everyone remember that one so fondly?
Because there's a deer that gets murdered halfway through.
Yeah, I mean, I like murder of deers as well, but, like, it's not that cool. All right. Well, enough speculating on what Walt would think. What's your thoughts on it, Jess? What do you think?
I really enjoyed the film. I don't have much negative to say about it. It is so much of its own thing that it's hard to compare it to all the rest of the Disney lexicon. I think that it's baffling that the How the Grinch Stole Christmas film destroyed this at the box office, considering this is a much more engaging movie.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas had a recognizable name, a recognizable actor, and is a holiday film. I think it has all the advantages going into the fight here.
I mean, we all know that Jeffrey Tamor can sell a movie. We all know this.
Yeah, but all the same, I don't think it's much of a surprise that How the Grinch Stole Christmas was able to beat The Emperor's New Groove. But at the same time, I think The Emperor's New Groove holds up much better now than How the Grinch Stole Christmas ever did.
I don't know. At least the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, like, pushed forward some, like, digital technology and did some very interesting film things.
Yeah, but do you really want to watch that movie?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe we should do that. Maybe if we weren't a Disney Plus fucking podcast, we could talk about How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
We just have to wait like a few more years and then we can talk about it.
Disney buys Universal.
It sounds
suddenly
ridiculous now, but
Despicable Me 3 is a fucking Disney movie.
All the Minions movies open with the Disney logo. All right, cheese rating, Jess? What cheese are you giving this?
Corn with cheese, a delicacy of the Incas.
Wow, very cool. My overall thoughts on this, I know you're about to ask, but my overall thoughts on this, very funny, short and to the point, great watch. If you haven't already seen it, I mean, you probably already know a ton of lines from it because they're in memes everywhere and people talk about it all the time. It's a good movie. Check it out. As far as a cheese rating, I'm just feeling it. I'm going to give it a Colby Jack. I don't know why, but I'm feeling that. With this movie, I'm feeling that Colby Jack.
Is Colby Jack like when Kobe Bryant jacks you off?
Very similar to that, but better, because it's cheese. And honestly, cheese is better than sex.
I've used queso as lube, and it did not feel good. Nevertheless, thank you guys for listening.
You don't combine
Please
the
review
two, Jess.
Us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Hopefully we're there at Disney Plus Cheese. Our Twitter is Disney Plus Cheese. Please give us some love on Instagram, Disney Plus Cheese. Our title card is created by the amazing Jolene Casco.
Amazing.
Yeah, tell us how we're doing. This is our second episode. Maybe this is a disaster. Maybe this is the worst thing we've ever done. We don't know unless you tell us.
I thought it was pretty good, but whatever. Tell our editor.
But Andrew also did like that
good.
Last Jedi, so.
Whatever. It's all coming together now.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time on Disney Plus Cheese.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.